I'm John Wells, superhero nut.
And I'm Amy Kenny, fellow nerd.
My fellow nerd, Amy Kenny. We've just revealed our secret identities because Amy and I are indeed superhero fans. Very likely the biggest fans in the Hamilton Spectator newsroom. Although you never know, perhaps there's another one lurking in the shadows, Amy. I don't know if Aviva or Molly would qualify.
Molly probably. Maybe not superheroes, but I know she likes comics.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So Amy and I have been more excited than most, probably more excited than anyone should be, for some time, awaiting the mega event that is Superman versus Batman. Or if you'd rather, Batman versus Superman, but we'll get into that. The movie finally arrived with the release of Dawn of Justice, in which the two most famous heroes in the DC Comics universe, and perhaps any universe, do battle. And then, spoiler alert, although, you know, if you're a true fan, you would have seen the movie already, and this won't be any surprise to you, but they do team up at the, near the end and battle a very large and very slimy foe, but that's all I'll say about that. So we're here to discuss the new movie, and Amy, I've seen, well first of all, I saw the movie on opening night.
Mm-hmm.
You?
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep. Jackson Square.
Jackson Square.
No lineups at Jackson Square, even on opening night.
One of the benefits of Jackson Square, I suppose. So we're going to discuss the new movie. We'll talk about whether it works. We'll talk about Lex Luthor, Wonder Woman, and other aspects of it. Although I think you and I also, we had the same experience on the opening night. What happened to you when you went to see the movie?
The 3D? I had forgotten that it was 3D, and there was a bucket of 3D glasses, and actually the guy went, oh, no, it's 3D, and the guy behind me swore. He was like, 3D? He may have actually walked out of the theater, because he didn't then follow me in, so I think that's enough to turn some people completely off of it.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I saw something 3D, I think I was about 7, and I was at Epcot Center, and it was Captain EO starring Michael Jackson, and that was maybe the last time anybody should have made anything in a 3D format. I was kind of upset about it with this, but just popped out. I took two pairs of glasses and popped out a right lens and a left lens and made a pair of double left lensers to make it 2D for myself.
Well, that's a superhero-esque to pull that off. I had the same experience. I didn't know it was 3D. I went to see the 10:30 show with about 30 or 40 other superhero nerds,
mm-hmm.
and didn't realize it was 3D. And,
yeah.
And I didn't think the movie really needed to be in 3D.
No.
So, you know, I read reviews of the movie afterwards. If I see a movie I really have been looking forward to seeing, I like to read the reviews after I've seen it. And Dawn of Justice is getting hammered by a lot of critics.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised to hear that?
No, I think it's hard to make any sort of nerd film and make everyone happy. And in a lot of cases make anyone happy because people love getting worked up about the inconsistencies and the things that you didn't do right and the casting choices and whatever. In this case, I think the way this movie plays is like a trailer for Justice League that is 151 minutes too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like it's a lot of setup and trying to jam too many stories into one space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they introduce several other DC heroes very briefly in the movie, I guess, so they can build up to an Avengers like franchise. What did you think worked in the movie, and what do you think didn't work? You mentioned the length and so on.
Yeah, I liked Alfred's.
Jeremy Irons.
Yes. First Silver Fox Alfred.
Yeah.
His role, just that he wasn't this sort of, I don't know, grandfather tottering around,
serving tea and that kind of thing,
Bruce Wayne for not having children yet, and that he was involved in the development, the research and development of Batman's gadgets and tools and things like that. I did not like from the get-go, I was not really into Ben Affleck being Batman.
Mm, yes.
But I disliking movies even more than I dislike Ben Affleck, so I was like, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he'll be great. And he wasn't terrible, but he was just like Ben Affleck doing what Ben Affleck does, which is walk around with his eyes half closed and his mouth half open, talking through his teeth, like poking me in the eye with his chin, and I don't know.
Yeah.
He wasn't the most abysmal thing about it, but he wasn't. Mm-hmm. He did not change my mind about Ben Affleck.
I had low expectations for Ben when I first heard he was cast. I thought, oh my goodness, I even considered, you know, maybe I won't even see it until it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
After, but of course it went and saw it on the opening night. But I had low expectations and he exceeded those.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose that's faint praise, but you know, I thought he didn't get in the way of me enjoying the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I too thought they packed a lot into the film. And you know, great action. One of the things that bothered me was a lot of the explanatory lines, mostly from Lex Luthor, sort of, you know, as Batman and Superman are building to their climactic fight, and Luthor's exclaiming, "Oh, the dark versus the light, man versus God," and he's giving me these themes to chew on. And I would rather come up with these things myself, mm-hmm. and interpret the layers. But he was giving it all to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that sort of bothered me.
He something to say about that. Yeah. There's a, and I mean that is kind of, you can infer that pretty easily. It's a, it just feels like a bashing over the head when he says and does those things, because it's fairly obvious from everything, the dynamic between the characters and even the way the scenes are shot and the lighting plays across various characters, you can tell that thing. So then to have him there, he's just like this endless repetitive footnote driving that point home. And then it also weirdly has no, I mean, there's no reason for him to be obsessed with it, you know, that it's mm-hmm. never really explained. You just don't understand what the point is of him focusing on this over and over again, other than just that he's kind of holding like a flashing billboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, looking back on it, I think, you know, if they could have tied it in somehow that, you know, Luthor wanted to see this fight between the two of them for his own special reasons,
yeah.
You know, because he wanted to see that these themes coming together, but that's never established, that he's that kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's talking about various Greek gods and quoting philosophers and whatnot through the whole movie, and then it just feels kind of like that was tacked on there, but didn't really serve a function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think in terms of what worked, you know, for me, I think a lot of it is just it's Batman and Superman in the same movie, and that was the attraction.
Yeah,
and going into it, and for me, it's still it's Batman and Superman in the same movie.
Yeah, you don't really need that greater God versus man theme. Like, this is enough, guys.
Yeah, exactly. There they are. I mean, you know, Batman runs into Superman in the Batmobile and bounces off Superman. It's kind of, they're both there, and it's kind of like, you know, cool. I mean, you know, there they are.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to mess that up. I know some critics have suggested that they have, but I mentioned Lex Luthor, who's played by
Jesse Eisenberg,
yeah. And so it's a different take on what we've seen, you know, this character played by different actors over the years, but pretty much the same kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of how Jesse portrayed Lex?
When he first showed up and I realized who he was playing, I was like, this is perfect, because Jesse Eisenberg is so irritating to me. I just kind of hate him as an actor. I was like, this will be perfect. But then there was this next level irritation on top of that, where after the first couple scenes, I was annoyed by his overacting. He had this kind of like twitchy way of playing Lex that was good for the first little bit, but then it just got to be this one trick pony routine where I felt like he was doing the same thing over and over again and kind of going over the top every time. Didn't like him.
Yeah, I wanted to give him a chance, and I thought at first, okay, I see what they're doing here. It's a different take. They're going with a young, sort of nerdy, almost like a social media. Well, he was in The Social Network, right?
Yeah.
And you know, he's wearing the running shoes and that sort of thing. But you know, at the end of the movie, the show that I saw, which was about, you know, 1 a.m, there were about 30 guys, and they were all guys, I think, who stayed in their seats while the credits rolled, and they were discussing the movie. And one of the guys, I think he might have had a Batman cap on or a Superman cap or something like that, and he said, and Lex Luthor, yeah, Luthor's supposed to be an evil genius, and this guy was just a psychopath.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I think he's kind of hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
You know.
But. And two, he, when he first showed up, and I mean, the very first thing that he says, I think, he's at the family company, LexCorp, and the woman who's coming to see him says something about you're the guy with his name on the door, and he's like, no, that's my dad's name, I just run things now. So there was a moment there too where I was like, is he Lex Luthor, or is he his son who also has the same? It was just a weird choice to make him younger in that respect, because it was kind of, because you know him as an older guy, and then having that moment of him saying that there were two Lex Luthers, it was weird.
The son of Luthor. That's a good point. I think I thought maybe at that moment, they're going to try to explain that he's the chip off the old block in some ways, but they didn't really develop that.
Yeah.
I know in the TV series Smallville, did you ever watch Smallville?
No.
Basically, Adventures of Superman as a teenager.
Yeah.
And the Lex Luthor character in that, his father plays quite prominently in the series, in the TV series, as being this influence on him, but that's never built into this movie. The ending to the movie, we won't give away the movie. The end to the Dawn of Justice. Do you think it sets up well for future DC movies? And in that sense, how do you think it compares to the Marvel superhero movies, Captain America, Iron Man, and so on, that has been such a successful franchise?
I think it's set up pretty perfectly for the next ones. I mean, the whole thing was just so much set up for what comes next. But where it leaves off is a good spot for that. As far as how it compares to something like The Avengers, it's hard to compare this one, I think, because in this one, all of the main characters, like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, they're sort of working independently of one another, and they don't really come together until the end. So I think Justice League will be a better comparison, because you'll have all of them sort of in the same space and hopefully able to play off each other in the same way the characters in the Avengers are, and that'll be kind of what makes that one, I think.
Yeah, and I think, the Avengers, that's what works in that franchise, is the collegial aspect, the interplay between the characters, the wisecracking and all that sort of thing. And in Dawn of Justice, you don't have that. I mean, the two main characters are trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
Certainly, the one sort of moment of levity, I thought, maybe the only one, is right near the end when Wonder Woman comes into the movie, and she shows up with her sword and shield and quite a presence, and Batman looks at Superman and says, "Is she with you?" And Superman turns back and says, "I thought she was with you."
Yeah.
And I thought, that was, so I'd like to see a lot more of that.
Yeah.
That's Avengers style.
Yeah.
Banter that I think we'll see more of in the future. Speaking of Wonder Woman, what did you think of her role in the film?
I liked it. She was not in it a lot, but again, I think that's just part of pulling her in, introducing her for the next ones. But I liked how she was kind of the only unconflicted one. Well, I mean, maybe that's because we didn't spend a lot of time with her, so you don't get to know what she thinks about the whole superhero gig, but Batman and Superman spend the whole time obsessing over what's right and what's wrong and what their role is, and she just kind of accepts it and goes with it.
Mm-hmm. She's a warrior.
As much as we see. Yeah.
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 Yeah. No, I liked her role a lot. I mean, she's a beautiful actor, and, they show her in a couple of one or two, at least, fancy sort of cocktail party type things where, Bruce Wayne, Affleck's Bruce Wayne is, taking an interest in her for some obvious reasons, but then she's got her own thing that she's got going. And
I enjoyed the costume choices there, where her dresses all had kind of like a gold band that looked like her bracelets.
Yeah,
was good.
Like armbands and stuff like that. I noticed that as well. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And for me, I like seeing when Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne are together at an event. She's there. There's some sense of some tension, or it's just I like to see more of that. And I guess that's what we'll see in the future movies. I kind of even wanted to see if there'd be any kind of Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent take an interest in Wonder Woman. But in Lois Lane's off in the wings, casting a
you just want a romance movie.
I just want the romance version of that. I suppose that's true. That's kind of twisted. The movie, of course, the hook of the movie is that Superman fights Batman. We won't give away how that ends, but are you a Superman person or a Batman person?
I have always been a Batman person, because Superman's whole sort of motivation is just that he loves the world and he's a good guy and he wants to do good and he wants to help people, and that's great. I don't hold that against him. It's wonderful. But I identify more with Batman's motivation, which is straight up revenge. Although in this movie he was a kind of a different, he didn't come off as revenge motivated so much as just unhinged. He was, the movie opens with the death of his parents, which, like, we all have seen a thousand times. It's like, you know it like the national anthem. But then that doesn't really play into anything, because his sort of journey over the course of this film isn't, this is what happened and this is why I'm now doing what I'm doing. It was, this is what happened, and then bam, he just goes into this full-on hatred of Superman and is obsessed with destroying him. Even though he, I mean, his big beef with Superman is that the guy seems to be operating without any restrictions placed on him. I'm like, that's exactly what you're doing too. This, the, right. the version of Batman in this movie is a lot darker and a lot, has less morals, it seems to me, than any other Batman.
And he was also angry that Superman brought down the Wayne Tower during the big fight and that sort of thing. But no, it does seem, you know, by the end, you know, an artificial sort of sort of vengeance he has against him. You think there could have been some other sort of mistaken identity, or some other twist that would have turned him, that would have justified his anger at Superman. And we can play the fight, but in the end, how Batman sort of comes to Superman's side ultimately, which is would be no surprise to anyone. Strikes me as kind of, oh, and now it's okay. Bringing them together to fight is a great idea, but, you know, maybe the writing could be a little more clever on that.
It's a superhero movie, so I'm not looking for any great depth, but a little bit more than was there, I think, because I just didn't, I wasn't not buying into his, this obsession that he had with destroying Superman.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was a big fan of the series Smallville, which was about Superman as a teenager.
Yeah.
And in that one, you got Clark Kent growing up as a teenager, at the same time kind of growing up together, in a sense, with Lex Luthor as a teenager. And they both, you know, end up sort of liking the same girl. And there's a real, you know, the writing to me in that series was all, at least in the first few seasons before it kind of got weird, was so clever how they would, they were friends, and you see how the best friends start to become mortal enemies over time because of miscommunication and things like that.
Yeah.
And now it's certainly in the movie, you don't have a lot of time to develop all that. And I think that's part of the reason why the movie was so packed together.
Yeah.
These two iconic heroes, and you're trying to give them equal time and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it did. And in the beginning half of that movie too, it felt way more like Batman's movie. They didn't spend a whole lot of time on Superman, and then in the end they kind of evened that out. And I was more on Superman's side, I think, in the end.
So maybe you're coming around to the side of the light, which is my side.
No way. Darkness forever.
The Superman. I mean, that's a good movie title. I've always been a Superman. I mean, as a young boy, my mother made me Batman and Superman costumes, so I did have the two. Batman's a tougher costume to make. And I do have a Superman action figure at my desk, as you know, sitting next to me. So I don't know. I think it just, in terms of my history with Superman, it goes back further. I mean, I remember sending away through like a box of cereal, where you'd send away for a prize, and you could send away for the Superman album, like a record of radio plays of Superman. And I actually had that and played that and traced his figure, you know, on the cover of the album and all that and stuff like that. So I go way back. And then, you know, the whole Kryptonite thing is cool, and he can fly.
Yeah.
So, you know, what more needs to be said about that? But
Where's the Lois Lane action figure? I want her on my desk.
maybe it's out there. I don't know.
I'm going to make one. I'm going to modify an existing.
What do you think of Lois Lane's character? And I mean, she's sort of, I mean, in this one, certainly, she's helping at the end, without giving it away. She's helping in the fight kind of thing. I mean, she plays an active role that way.
Yeah. She does do a whole lot of getting in life endangering situations and needing to be saved.
Yeah.
Here's a point. Okay. Why is it that Superman always tell when and where in the world Lois Lane... This is a problem that I have with... Okay, I buy into your, like, fantasy world. Suspend disbelief. I have no problem with that. But then they make all these rules for themselves within that they don't adhere to. Like, why can he tell when and where in the world Lois Lane is in trouble? But he can't do the same with his mother. Particularly when he could do the same with his mother in Man of Steel.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, it's a good point.
And,
yeah. Yeah, and you know, Lois Lane, sure, he can. He's attuned to her voice because he loves her, but he loves his mother.
Yeah.
In the movies, clearly, he's close with her as well. So yeah, there's an inconsistency there. Yeah. That's a good point. Perhaps for the next podcast, we'll explore that some more.
Yeah, we'll just catalog all of the continuity errors and inconsistencies.
So we'll have a Wonder Woman movie that will be part of the franchise coming out before too long. There's another female superhero that you've mentioned to me that I bet most listeners have not heard of. So,
yes.
Who is your favorite superhero who few people out there have ever heard of?
Nelvana of the Northern Lights. She was created in the 1940s when there were trade sanctions and we couldn't get American comics here. She was one of like a handful of Canadian superheroes that were created and drawn and the stories done all here, I think for about 2 years. And she's this Inuit demigoddess who flies around on a beam of the Northern Lights and fights environmental devastation.
Wow.
She's pretty awesome.
Inuit demigoddess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that would sell. Although, you know, the whole global warming, environmental thing. Maybe,
this is
maybe,
the time.
You know, yeah.
Now is the time.
No, it is. And now's the time for Nineveh.
And I would also like to see an Alpha Flight. If now is the time for these, like, superhero team movies like the Avengers and Justice League, get some Alpha Flight in there.
What would you say is your favorite superhero movie of all time, or the one that you know that you went and saw it and you came away thinking, now that's cool? Or
Well, I have a very soft spot for the first two Batman movies.
Michael Keaton in the starring role there, a quirky thing.
The best time. Batman.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Batman?
I liked Christian Bale, for the intensity. I mean, you and I have talked that his Batman deep voice is a little over the top, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Maybe it's more the. It's funny. I mean, when they're playing their alter ego, their secret identity. You know, Bruce Wayne. I like him as Bruce Wayne when he's being the playboy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's like strikes me as the Bruce Wayne. So it's almost like you're judging them on two different things. How was he as Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
How was he as Batman?
Yeah.
But Michael Keaton, that was a quirky pick, I remember back then, but he was great.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I like that about him is that he wasn't, I mean, they've had all these George Clooney, Christian Bale, Val Kilmer,
right.
Ben Affleck, Batman, but I don't think of Bruce Wayne as like this suave playboy when I think of him. I like him better as Michael Keaton, who's this kind of like nerdy looking dude who, you know,
he's got a dungeon and stuff.
Veil out for a date and he's like nervous and doesn't really think anything's gonna happen, and I don't know, I prefer it to Ben Affleck, who gives Wonder Woman this skeezy look when he sees her at a party and is like, no, I like him to just be this dude who is bumbling around, but then he's also Batman.
Yeah, when he gets the costume on, and all of a sudden he evolves into something else,
yeah.
which seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, up and away, Amy. when the next Justice League movie comes out, we'll have to get together and discuss the fortunes of our heroes once again,
including Aquaman.
Aquaman,
yeah.
who as you pointed out, an odd. Sort of the odd duck out.
He's the lame duck in the superhero world, yep. He's universally regarded as like kind of a joke of a superhero because his main powers are breathing underwater and communicating with fish. So I think I'm excited to see how they make fun of that.
You've got to have the big body of water nearby for him to take action.
The battle royale is going to have to happen in the aquarium at Central Park Zoo for him to be of any use, or maybe the harbor. Are there fish in the harbors in New York? I don't know.
I would think so.
Yeah.
There's
gonna
be fish there.
If Nelvana was part of this team, helping kind of clean up the environment, then perhaps there would be, and they could fight that out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Amy, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'll see you at the movies.
All right.
Okay.